Blog Talk Radio.
Buenas noches. Welcome to the new Monday show on blogtalkradio.com, where the good news is shared in a unique way. Brought to you by Time to Learn Academies, Help Forward Program. Website URL or link is easysite.com/a time to learn. I am Charlene, your hostess. You're welcome here to this religious-themed broadcast where we educate and inspire one another and promote good deeds of our favorite entertainers, business organizations, and family households. At this time, you should have a notebook, pencil, and Bible. Please use the King James Version Bible, as I will help you to understand its meaning as I read it aloud. Just a reminder, I am not an ordained preacher. Today's read-along will be from 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 25. 2 Kings chapter 17, beginning with verse 25. The New Monday Show believes in God, the maker of heaven and earth. It is He from whom all thoughts of truth and peace proceed, who came down to earth in the image of a humble servant to serve humankind. And His name is Jesus. Others may refer to Him as such names as Yeshua or Isa. Community announcements. Your donations help to maintain online and offline programs and services, such as job coaching and employment services, and other help forward programs for new and existing middle-income family households. Shop Avon with me locally or online at charleneonline.net, available 24/7. Phone ordering and customer care is available Monday through Thursday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Sell Avon with one of my sales teams, sales development team, or Ethnic Pride sales rep team. Startup kits are affordable and available at start.youravon.com. Use reference code Charlene Stevens with no space in between. Charlene spelled S-H-E-R-L-E-N-E. Stevens, S-T-E-V-E-N-S. Tomorrow is Sally Struthers' birthday. Wednesday is Josh Radner, Martina McBride, and Tim Gunn's birthday. Thursday is Della Burke, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Lawrence Fishburne, and Vivica Fox's birthday. Friday, in theaters, we have Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation. We remember Robert Bob Welch Jr., and it's Wesley Snipes' birthday. Saturday is the state of Colorado, Guam's birthday, along with Tempest Pledsoe's birthday. We remember Alex Haley. On Saturday as well. And Sunday, we remember Carol, actor, O'Connor, from All in the Family. Most remember him from that family show. And it's Sam Worthington's birthday. A happy birthday to all our favored entertainers. In our prayers box, we have Whitney Houston's daughter, Bobby Christina, family and friends on her recent passing. At this time, you may say aloud names of celebrity, entrepreneurs, or families in need of prayer. Globally, the major faith believers are Jews who use the Torah, Christians who use the Bible, and Muslims who use the Bible and or Quran. They and I believe there is only one God, one human race that descended from one couple, Adam and Eve, one heaven, one hell, and one way to achieve salvation and eternal bliss. Now, as we prepare for our meditation poem, I want you to focus on self and your unique household. Okay, so let's take a deep breath. Slowly exhale out all the negativity of the weekend, of today, or what you may have to do this evening. Meditation poem, I Am, by Michael Wynn. Let's say aloud slowly. I am strong. I am gentle. I am proud. I am humble. I am confident. I am beautiful. I am intelligent. I am becoming all that I can be. We are all children of God. Deep breath again. And slowly exhale. Today I proclaim that I believe in God. I give thanks to Him on this day and forevermore for sending Jesus to save me from eternal sin. I believe in the unique calling of this fellowship. Holy Spirit, guide me continuously so that I do not stray from God's purpose of His creation. Lord, allow wisdom and knowledge to enter into the souls of all my listeners to be endured forever within their unique household upon generation. In Jesus' name, my soul says, Amen. Visitors, if you've never read the Holy Bible, please open the Bible at this time. The first few pages should list the Old and New Testaments accordingly. Within the Testaments are books, and the books or chapters are verses. The Torah, for believers who use it, includes the Old Testament, which are found in the Holy Bible that we use today. Again, Bible read-along will be from 2 Kings chapter 17, beginning with verse 25. Prepare for our religious theme discussion. Ready? Let's begin. And so, it was at the beginning of their dwelling there that they feared not the Lord. Therefore, the Lord sent lions among them, which slew some of them. Wherefore, they spake to the king of Assyria, saying, the nations which thou hast removed and placed in the cities of Samaria know not the manner of the God of the land. Therefore, he hath sent lions among them, and behold, they slay them, because they know not the manner of the God of the land. Then the king of Assyria commanded, saying, carry thither one of the priests whom ye brought from thence, and let them go and dwell there, and let him teach them the manner of the God of the land. Then one of the priests whom they had carried away from Samaria came and dwelt in Bethel and taught them how they should fear the Lord. How about every nation made gods of their own? Gods spelled with a lowercase g, not referencing the one true and living God, but many gods, and put them in the houses of the high places which the Samaritans had made, every nation in their cities wherein they dwelt. And the men of Babylon made Succoth-Benoth, and the men of Cuth made Nergal, and the men of Hamath made Ashima. And the Avites made Niphaz and Tartak, and the Severites burnt their children in fire to Adrammelech and Anemelech, the gods of Sepharim. So they feared the Lord and made unto themselves of the lowest of them priests of the high places. Pausing for a moment. So we have groups, the Avites, and made the Niphaz and Tartak, and the Severites, they burnt their children, their own children, families. They burnt them not to the one and true and living God, but to the many gods, to Adrammelech and Anemelech, the gods of Sepharim. So they feared the Lord and made unto themselves of the lowest of them priests of the high places. Pausing for a moment again. They feared the Lord. They said, oh no, what have we done? You know, they finally had a conscience and said, wait a minute, we've done something wrong. They knew they had done something wrong. And so they said, okay, well, this is what we'll do. We'll find...
Or make our own priests. Not worrying about whether they had the specialization to become a priest, not concerned about did they come from a family of priesthood, which means that they had more education and background experience in the field. No, they didn't care what type of priest they had. They just feared the Lord and was like, oh, we got to do something. How are we going to get ourselves out of this mess? So they said, well, just find anybody who wants to be a priest. Would sacrifice for them in the houses of the high places. They fear the Lord and serve their own gods. Okay, yet, pausing for a moment. Okay, on one hand, they fear the Lord, but on the other hand, they made their own gods. Okay, these are what we call unwise, foolish people, foolish families, foolish men families. After the manner of the nations whom they carried away from thence. Verse 34, and to this day they do after the former manners. They do what they want. You know, no matter what you say, no matter what, you know, they say they fear the Lord, but they do their own thing. They fear not the Lord, because if they did, they wouldn't be doing some of the things that they do.
Amen. Neither do they after their statutes, their own rules. They don't even fear their own rules. Now, these were people back in the day, back in the Old Testament, before Jesus was on the scene. So they would do their own thing. They would make laws. They would have judges, you know, going through the formalities of their culture, of their communities, okay? But they wouldn't obey anyone. They wouldn't obey their leaders. They wouldn't obey God, the one true and living God. And they wouldn't obey their own laws that they made. Neither do they after their statutes or after their ordinances or after the law and commandment which the Lord commanded the children of Jacob, whom he named Israel, with whom the Lord had made a covenant and charged them, saying, ye shall not fear other gods, nor bow yourselves to them, nor serve them, nor sacrifice to them. Okay? So the Lord had commanded them not to be jealous of others who had many other gods that they worshipped, and do not fear their gods. But what did they do instead? They chose to be participants and worshiping other gods. They wanted to be part of the crowd, the most popular crowds or groupings within their communities that worshipped many gods. But our God is a monolithic God, one God, one true and living God, who rules over all gods, who rules over the many gods. Verse 36, but the Lord, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt with great power and a stretched out arm, him shall ye fear, and him shall ye worship, and to him shall ye do sacrifice. I want to repeat that again. What does the Lord expect of faith believers, whether you are Christians, whether you are Judaism or Jewish people, or whether you are a Muslim or participants or faith believers of the Islamic religion? You are to fear him, worship him, and do sacrifices for him. And I would like to also express him, meaning the one true and living God. Not man, not political leaders, not community leaders, not religious leaders, but the one and true living God who knows all and who sees all. Verse 37, and the statutes and the ordinances and the law and the commandment which he wrote for you, ye shall observe to do forevermore. So whatever the one true and living God has said within the Old Testament, we are to do unless he changed them or revised them within the New Testament. Amen? We've gone over that before. Okay? And ye shall not fear other gods. Whom shall we fear? Now, some take this out of context and try to use it when they're doing something as a group that they know that they're not supposed to be doing, or they're using it out of context to provide reasoning for what they are participating in. Okay? So we are not to fear because we believe in the one true and living God that provides us with the strength, with the courage, with grace, with mercy, with kindness, with love. Amen? Okay, so in verse 39, but the Lord your God ye shall fear. Ye shall. Not maybe, not suppose. Ye shall fear. And he shall deliver you out of the hand of all your enemies. How about they did not even hearken? You know, pausing for a moment, it would be like me just verbalizing or having a presentation or having a speech and them not even listening. Like having a classroom full of kids and them not even paying attention to me. That's how the children of Israel were acting. They were acting up. They were acting up right about now. Okay, so they wouldn't listen, wouldn't hearken. But they did after their former manners. They kept disobeying God's instructions. So these nations fear the Lord and serve their graven images, both their children and their children's children. Amen? We've talked about that. When you don't educate a generation, what happens to generations after? That's why education is so important. That's why it's so important to provide your unique families, your immediate households, as well as your external family sets, to have family bonding time, to go over your cultural and traditional ways. Some productive, hopefully. And then whatever you teach a child, their children will be taught the same way. For example, with my mother, she homeschooled me during my early years. So what do I up and do when I have children? If I have a good experience, then I will also teach my children as well. And my children will also do the same. So we have created a generational pattern within my immediate family line that will continue upon generation upon generation. Now, even if it was a bad experience, children soak up anything that they see, hear, amen, using all the senses. Okay, so even if you have taught them something bad to do, for example, smoke weed, or they see you smoking weed, or they smell the weed in the house, or they see you selling weed, okay, these are all activities that they can see or that they will hear you discussing something with another adult about selling weed or et cetera, even though that's a bad thing to do, in front of children, you're teaching a child right in that very instance. So actually, parents, we are our children's first before they even go to Head Start or early learning environments or pre-K or actual schooling. Parents, guardians are the first teachers. And so as they did their fathers, again, a generational dysfunction was going on of not obeying laws, commandments, judges, political leaders, religious leaders, community leaders. They didn't want to obey anyone. So do they unto this day. They still do that. The Lord allowed someone to write down the activities of a dysfunctional community, and he couldn't even change their hearts, their mindset, their traditions, their cultural ways. Amen? Continuing with chapter 18. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places, and he brake the images, and cut down the groves, and brake in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan, or Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. So most of the community leaders or kings at that time wouldn't obey God, but he was the only one that is recorded in God's word that did obey him. Mostly. For he clave to the Lord, and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth. And he rebelled against the king of Assyria, and served him not. He smote the Philistines, even unto Gazah, and the borders thereof, from the tower of the watchmen to the fenced city. And it came to pass in the fourth year of King Hezekiah, which was the seventh year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came up against Samaria and besieged it. So all was doing good, all was great for 4 years. And at the end of 3 years, they took it, even in the sixth year of Hezekiah, that is the ninth year of Hoshea, king of Israel. Samaria was taken. And the king of Assyria did carry away Israel unto Assyria, and put them in Halah, and in Habur, by the river of Gozan, and in the cities of the Medes. Because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord their God, but transgressed his covenant, and all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded, and would not hear them, nor do them. Now in the 14th year of King Hezekiah did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, come up against all the fenced cities of Judah, and took them. And Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria, to Lachish, saying, I have offended, return from me. That which thou puttest on me will I bear. And the king of Assyria appointed unto Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. And Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasures of the king's house. At the time did Hezekiah cut off the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord and from the pillars which Hezekiah, king of Judah, had overlaid and gave it to the king of Assyria. And the king of Assyria sent Tardan, and Rabsaris, and Rashaka from Lachish to King Hezekiah with a great host against Jerusalem. And they went up and came to Jerusalem. And when they were come up, they came and stood by the conduit of the upper pool, which is in the highway of the fuller's field. And when they had called to the king, there came out to them Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, which was over the household, and Shebna, the scribe, and Joah, the son of Asaph, the recorder. And Rabshakeh said unto them, Speak ye now to Hezekiah, thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, What confidence is this wherein thou trustest? Thou sayest, but they are but vain words. I have counsel and strength for the war. Now in whom dost thou trust that thou rebellest against me? Now, behold, thou trustest upon the staff of this bruised reed, even upon Egypt, on which if a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh king of Egypt unto all that trust on him? But if we say unto me, we trust in the Lord our God, is not that he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah hath taken away, and hath said to Judah and Jerusalem, ye shall worship before this altar in Jerusalem. Now therefore, I pray thee, give pledges to my lord the king of Assyria, and I will deliver thee 2,000 horses, if thou be able on thy part to set riders upon them. How then wilt thou turn away the face of one captain of the least of my master's servants, and put thy trust on Egypt for chariots and for horsemen? Am I now come up without the Lord against this place to destroy it? The Lord said to me, go up against this land and destroy it. Then said Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and Shebna and Joah unto Rabshakeah, speak, I pray thee, to thy servants in the Syrian language, for we understand it. And talk not with us in the Jews' language in the ears of the people that are on the wall. But Rabshakeh said unto them, hath my master sent me to thy master and to thee to speak these words? Hath he not sent me to the men which sit on the wall, that they may eat their own dung and drink their own piss with you? Oh, yes. Back in the day, they cursed. They used foul language, families. Then Rabshakeh stood and cried with a loud voice in the Jews' language, and spake, saying, hear the word of the great king, the king of Syria. Thus saith the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you out of this hand. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us, and this city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Hearken not to Hezekiah, for thus saith the king of Assyria, make an agreement with me by a present, and come out to me, and then eat ye every man of his own vine, and every one of his fig tree, and drink ye every one of the waters of his cistern, until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of corn and wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of oil, olive, and of honey, that ye may live and not die. And hearken not unto Hezekiah when he persuadeth you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Hath any of the gods of the nations delivered at all his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? Pausing for a moment. What the king is saying, has it ever happened? We'll end right here with verse 33 of chapter 18. For next time, we'll continue with chapter 18, beginning with verse 34. For next Monday, jot down any questions that you may have and email to me. A new Monday show at CharleneOnline.com. Do not read ahead if you feel led. Read over assigned scriptures again or share with family or friends. This has been your hostess. I thank you for reading along at the new Monday show with me. May you have a blessed and productive week, and don't forget to smile to one stranger every day. Now, amen to the one who keeps us from going astray. We thank you for this time of learning. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things that you have both learned, received, and heard, and see in me, and see me do. Do, and the God of peace shall be with you.